This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
Get 'em, Braves. This is Earl Gillespie, along with my smiling sidekick, Blaine Welch, inviting you to join us in recapturing the spine-tingling excitement of Milwaukee Braves baseball, the many memorable moments which have provided thrill after thrill for you fans.
And it is to you, the loyal Milwaukee Braves fans, that this nostalgia-packed album is enthusiastically dedicated. Without your tremendous and consistent support, our Braves might never have risen to the great heights. Herein highlighted and brought back for you to keep forever. The big red letter day came on March 8th, 1953. The news spread like wildfire. Milwaukee had become Major League. Enthusiasm ran high. Civic celebrations, parades, and welcome demonstrations were the order of the day as impatient fans waited for their big moment. And what a moment it was. Milwaukee's first official Major League game. A tightly fought duel between the Cardinals and Braves in jam-packed Milwaukee County Stadium. An extra inning affair that saw the score tied at 2-2 as the Braves came up to bat in the last of the 10th. Do you remember? Will you ever forget?
Here's Billy Bruton leading off for the Braves. Bullet Bill, outstanding young rookie center fielder. Jerry Staley on the mound for the Cardinals. Gets his sign. Starts it on the windup. Here's the pitch. Billy cracks a long drive to deep right field. Back, back. Enos Slaughter racing back. Leaps high at the wall. The ball's off Slaughter's glove. Out of the ballpark. Bruton slides into third. No, wait a minute. He's being waved back to second. It's a ground rule double. Whoops, here comes manager Charlie Grimm, waving his arms, arguing with umpire Lon Warnicki. Now the umpires are talking it over. Now Billy is being waved around, and it's a homer. Home run for Billy Bruton. The Braves win, 3-2.
And that fantastic beginning keynoted a season of tremendous thrills and excitement. Spearheaded by unbelievable fan support, the charging Braves were thick in the pennant pursuit, along with the Dodgers, Cards, and believe it or not, the Philadelphia Phils. By June 3rd, the Braves led the league by a game and a half. Warren Spahn was enjoying a great year, which was to bring him 21 victories. But the big surprise was roly-poly Max Serkant, who wrote a new record on May 25th. Remember that cold and rainy night? Max the Yaks really mowed down the Red Legs, fanning seven Reds in a row when play was halted for nearly 40 minutes. The delay failed to bother Big Max. When the game resumed, he promptly proceeded to strike out Andy Semenik to rack up a new record of 8 strikeouts in a row. A big night to remember. Another big sensation was the buster from Santa Barbara, 21-year-old Eddie Matthews. Off to a red-hot start, Matthews had 26 four-baggers halfway through the season, but he was still looking for a big first in the long ball department. Then, on July 12th, at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, it happened.
Left-handed batter Eddie Matthews. Bases are loaded and one out. The pitch to Eddie, a ball. It's outside. Ball one and no strike. Hal White, a right-hander warming up, is going to be joined now by another right-hander. Ed Arrott, I believe. Ed Arrott. Two right-handers warming up for the Cardinals. Here's that next pitch to Eddie. A swing, a long drive. There it goes, way back in the right field. A grand slam home run, his first in his major league career. Holy cow, they stay up. Four big runs are home, and it's now 6-0.
The first edition of the Milwaukee Braves was a power-packed wrecking crew, and they put on one of the greatest blasting exhibitions in baseball history on August 20th in a Sunday doubleheader at Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. The Milwaukee Maulers belted 12 home runs to set a new National League record for homers in two consecutive games. Were you listening? Do you remember?
Call on the count on Edcock. Joe has nothing for three.
The pitch, a swing, a drive back in the deep center field. Going back is Frank Thomas back on this ball. Back against the wall, 436 feet. Here's the run scoring as Adcock around second base on his way to third. And he is going to try to score. Here's the play coming in the home plate. He scores standing up. Holy cow, does Joe tee up. They're calling it a home run inside the park.
And then came that record-breaking blow by our old friend, Sid Gordon.
Ball three and strike one. One out of nobody on the first half of the eighth inning. Milwaukee Braves at bat. The pitch, a swing, a drive back in the left field. There it goes. Back, along. Home run for Sporting Sid Gordon. Number 12 in the doubleheader for our Milwaukee Braves.
Besides Adcox and Gordon's blasts, Jim Pendleton and Eddie Matthews each hit for the circuit three times. Johnny Logan twice, and Jack Dittmer and Del Crandall once each. There were a lot of holy cows that day, Blainer.
And how the fans loved their Braves. As the season drew to a close, Milwaukee and Wisconsin fans set a new all-time National League attendance mark of 1,826,397 patrons. So what if the Brooklyn Bums copped the pennant? Milwaukee had a special championship of its own. According to most baseball experts, without the enthusiasm of the fans, the Braves would not have achieved their fantastic climb from 7th place in 52 to their strong 2nd place finish in 53, their first year in the beer and baseball capital of the world.
The following year provided more and even bigger thrills for Braves fans who continue to jam County Stadium in unprecedented fashion.
Well, the second chapter of the Milwaukee story was primarily one of injuries. Bobby Thompson, obtained in a big trade with the Giants, suffered a broken leg in a spring exhibition game. And popular Andy Pafko was beamed on opening day. And so it went all season long.
Despite their miseries, the Braves put up a terrific battle and furnished some new and spectacular thrills, like this one, which took place on June 12th. Remember?
Here's the windup, and the 3-2 pitch, a swing, a line drive down the left field line. It's a foul ball. Holy cow. That ball was fouled by about a foot. Willie Jones lines one foul just outside the line. And Jim Wilson is still standing on the threshold of a Hall of Fame. It's ball three and strike two. Two outs. Nobody on base here in the top half of the ninth inning. Milwaukee leading 2-0. Jones takes his time coming back. That ball was fouled only by about a foot. A liner down the left field line. Ball three, strike two. Crandall gets down behind the plate, giving out a very important signal right now. Wilson wants a new baseball. Infield is set. The outfield is set. Playing Jones for a pull hitter. Ball three and strike two on Willie. Right-handed batter lifts his bat up over his head, loosening up his shoulders. Now Jim goes down to the rosin sack. Gives it a squeeze. Throws it down. Ball three and strike two. Two outs. Here's the windup. And the big pitch. A swing and a foul going upstairs to our right. And it's still 3-2 on Willie Jones. Dan Schell is due to come up next. Jones backs out of the batter's box momentarily, leans over to pick up a handful of dirt, dries off his hand. It's been a hot day here on June the 12th. Temperature is 81 degrees. Here's the windup and the 3-2 pitch. A swing and a ground ball hit to the second baseman. Picks it up. There's the play to first. And Jim Wilson pitches a no-hit game. Jimmy Wilson has just entered the Hall of Fame with a no-hit game against the top Philadelphia Phillies.
Another memorable moment of 54 came on July 31st at historic Ebbets Field. Joe Adcock provided the thrills as he went on a batting binge, the like of which had never been seen. Was your set turned on when...
Three home runs, a double, four runs scored, and six runs batted in for Joe. First pitch by Padres, the curveball is high and outside for a ball. Ball one and no strikes. The top half of the ninth inning is 12-6. Into the windup. The fastball swung on a drive back in deep left center field. It's going back towards the wall. It's a home run. Joe Adcock has just tied a real major league record with his fourth home run today.
What a one-man show by Jolton Joe. Adcock had also homered and doubled the day before, then maintained his extra base barrage by doubling the first time up the following day. And then came the beanball that sidelined the Coushatta clubber for a number of days.
And that was another in a string of injuries which included Eddie Matthews' split finger. Despite this run of hard luck, the Braves finished a creditable third, just 7.5 lengths behind the pennant-winning New York Giants.
And again, Earl, it was the Braves fans themselves who accounted for one of the season's big highlights, breaking their own attendance record and showing up 2 million strong at County Stadium, the first time ever that a National League team clicked the turnstiles to the tune of 2 million. The 55 flag chase really started with a flourish. Were you a fan in the stands on that opening day which provided one of our greatest thrills? Remember how it went? The Braves trailed 2-1 in the eighth, and the situation called for a pinch hitter for Warren Spahn. And thus it was that young Chuck Tanner made his major league debut.
Now let's see if Warren Spahn is coming out. I believe here comes Chuck Tanner. Chuck Tanner is going to bat for the pitcher Warren Spahn. A rookie up from Atlanta of the Southern Association, where he had a tremendous year. Chuck Tanner is making his first appearance in a major league ballgame. He's an awfully nice shouting.
Number 18, Chuck Tanner.
And a good hitter. He had a good spring. Here's Chuck, who last year hit .323 at Atlanta with 20 home runs and 101 runs batted in. A left-handed swinger with one out and nobody on base. Jerry Staley, the right-hander, is ready. Here comes the first pitch, and Chuck swings at the line drive down the right field line back towards the wall. Home run, his first time up in the major league.
How dramatic can things get? In 55, Milwaukee was all agog over hosting his first All-Star game, and the Braves were well represented by Del Crandall, Warren Spahn, Johnny Logan, Ed Matthews, Henry Aaron, and lean, lanky Gene Conley. Do you recall Conley's memorable mound stint in the 12th inning?
Two outs and nobody on base. Conley's first pitch to Al Rosen, swung on and line foul down the third baseline at strike one. The National League outfield playing deep and towards left for Al Rosen. Al was hampered quite a bit last year by an injury to one of his fingers. A strike one count. 5-5 in the top half of the 12th inning. Conley leaning way over, getting his sign from Lopata. Strike one count. The pitch to Rosen. Curve misses inside. It's even up at ball one and strike one. Ball one, strike one. Shadows lengthening out here at Milwaukee County Stadium have now practically obliterated the infield. The windup on the 1-1 pitch. Rosen's trying to hold up on his swing. It's a strike and it's 1-2. Conley looks like he has that good curveball breaking form this afternoon. As the American Leaguers, the first three to face him here, have been reaching off for the pitch. Ball one, strike two, two outs. Nobody on base. Rosen set on the batter's box. Straightaway stance. The pitch. Fastball is high and it's even up. Ball two, strike two. Five ball game. Ball two and a strike two count on Al Rosen. Conley delivers. There's a swing and a miss and he struck out the side. Three down as Conley strikes out Kaline, Vernon, and Al Rosen. No runs, no hits.
There was no stopping the Dodgers that year, and they won going away by 13.5 games. A significant note occurred at season's end with the signing of Fred Haney as coach for the coming year, a year which was to be marked by fun, frenzy, and finally, frustration. The big moment of 56 came on June 17th, when popular Jolly Charlie Grimm resigned and Fred Haney took over the managerial reins. Haney's debut was a dramatic one as the Braves dumped the Dodgers in a doubleheader. Again, Joe Adcock set the pace with three homers, one of them a real tape measure job.
Adcock
Big, powerfully built right-handed batter, and Ed Roebuck's first pitch is way inside, comes back to the screen, it's a ball. Ball one and no strike. Ball one and no strikes to count on Joe Adcock. Outfield deep to the left. There's a swing and a long one. Whoa, that was way, way up there, and maybe on the roof. It's on the top of the roof here at Ebbets Field. Up over the roof at Ebbets Field, a double deck. Boy, what a slam by Joe Adcock, and it's 5-4. And I think that's the first time that's ever been done in the history of Ebbets Field.
The Braves went on to take 11 straight and became King of the Hill. Bulwark of the Braves' surge was ageless Warren Spahn, who marked a major milestone midway in the final month of the campaign.
Warren Spahn, the left-hander, stretches. The 1-2 pitch, a swing and a ground ball to the third baseman. The peg to second base out, over to first base, double play, and there are two outs. A double play, Eddie Matthews to Danny O'Connell to Joe Adcock. And that's the gamble a manager will take with his power hitter up there and having him cut away. There's the danger of the double play ball, and then it's hit into the double play. Third to second to first. Now here is right fielder Jim Greengrass, who homered in the second. Has grounded out twice and walked. 1-3, a right-handed batter who swings as they pop up in the infield. Joe Adcock coming down, calling for it. Makes the cut. The Braves win a doubleheader, and Warren Spahn just chalked up his 200th Major League victory, and the boys are mobbing him out here in front of the plate.
The 56th race went right down to the wire, and on the second last day of the season, the Braves met the Cardinals in a must game. We came close. Oh, how we came close, but it was not to be. Remember how you felt the night of September 29th?
Strike one count on Musial. Score is tied at 1-1 in the last half of the 12th inning. Here's the next pitch. Change up, a swung on it. The line drive in a deep right center field. Going back out there against the wall. Played off the wall by Bruton. Here's the peg into the infield. And Musial goes sliding into second base. Ben Musial comes up with his first base hit tonight. At a very opportune time for the St. Louis Cardinals. As he lines a double to deep right center field, and that is only the fourth base hit off Warren Spahn. So St. Louis now has the winning run on second base with only one away. The batter is third baseman Ken Boyer, and he is going to receive an intentional walk. A time is called by the home plate umpire, Frank Descoli. Boyer, who has 1-4, is receiving an intentional walk. It'll bring up the left fielder, Rip Rapolsky. Now we're ready to go. Time back in. First pitch high outside, ball one, as Boyer is receiving the intentional walk with first base open. It's ball two. Here is ball three. And ball four. So Spahn, for the first time since the sixth inning, is in real trouble. That's his second walk of the ball game in 11 1/3 innings. This an intentional walk. Musial's double forcing the walk with Boyer up there. Now here is Rip Rapolsky, and Rapolsky has nothing for four. He has slid to right, popped to the first baseman, grounded to short, and was safe on a fielder's choice. St. Louis runners at first and second base with one man out. The first pitch to Rapolsky is high outside, a ball. 1-1 in the last half of the 12th inning. Ball one and no strikes on Rapolsky. Wally Moon on deck. Musial on second base. Ken Boyer on first base. Spahn looks back over the left shoulder. The 1-0 pitch, a swing and a ground ball at deep third. Gets off the leg of Eddie Matthews. Rolls into foul territory. Here is the winning run scoring. And the ball game is over. And with it might go the National League pennant for 1956.
Again, you fans showed your loyalty, turning up 20,000 strong to welcome back the boys from their ill-fated St. Louis jaunt. And on everyone's lips were the words, "Wait till next year." The hot stove league blazed brightly that winter as both the Braves and new fans champed at the bit, waiting for the 57 season to roll around. The Braves started off in typical fashion behind the mound mastery of Lou Burdett.
Burdett stretches, delivers, a swing, a ground ball to the shortstop. Johnny Logan picks it up over to second base. The ball game is over. And Lou Burdett just hurled a magnificent shutout, duplicating his feat of 1956 when he shut out the Chicago Cubs. Here in the ninth inning, for the Red Legs, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one man was left on base. As Wally Post forces Pete Wisenin at second base, Logan to Danny O'Connell. So the final score, Milwaukee 1, Cincinnati nothing.
The 57 race was a real dogfight with no less than five teams hanging tough and tight. Again, the Braves were hard hit by injuries, but they had a golden touch in coming up with replacements. Hero of the year was an unknown from Wichita, whose fabulous hitting spree kept the Braves' pennant hopes alive. Remember him? Remember a guy called Hurricane Bob Hazel?
Ball two, strike one. And he's been doing just that. And of course, he has brought a smile and a big wide smile to the face of our general manager, John Quinn. Runners on first and second base with one out. The 2-1 pitch, a swing and a drive back in the deep right center field, going back towards the wall. Back it is, a home run for Bob Hazel. Bob Hazel hit one to the scoreboard to the right of it over the fence. A tremendous drive. He now has six runs batted in today, and Milwaukee has a 7-0 lead.
The Hurricane continued to howl in fantastic fashion.
Bob Hazel, left-handed batter, facing the right-hander, Kirk Lowne. The 1-2 pitch, and it's just outside, ball two. At the end of six innings, Cincinnati 4 and the Cardinals 1 at the end of six. Ball two, strike two. The pitch. A swing and a drive back in the right field. Going back towards the wall is Wally Moore, and it's a home run. Woo! Bobby Hazel just hit one out to give the Braves the lead, 8-7.
With the Hurricane blowing up a mighty storm, the Braves cyclone their way to a five-game lead late in the season. Now it became a matter of magic numbers. A matter of not if, but when. Now the date is September 23rd, and the Cards are in town. What a spot for sweet revenge. The game hand-sweats its way into the 11th inning, and the hitter is hammering Hank Aaron.
The pitch to Henry Aaron, a swing and a drive back into center field, going back towards the wall. It's back at that fence. And is it caught or not? It's a home run. The Braves are the champions of the National League. Henry Aaron just hit his 43rd home run of the year. Holy cow.
Indeed, it was happy days for the Braves and their legions of loyal fans. And now, the most delicious deal of all, the dream come true. The Braves playing in the World Series against the highly favored New York Yankees.
Remember how the Yankees called us Bush and how we made them eat their words? The hated Yanks took a one-game lead over the first three tussles. And then came that dramatic fourth game at County Stadium. The Yankees held a 5-4 lead in the 10th inning.
Bob Grimm checks with Yogi Berra. Up on the rubber, goes into the stretch, arms down. The 2-0 pitch, a swing and a line drive to left field down that line. Johnny Logan, a great clutch ball player, just comes through for the Braves as he winds a double down the left field line, and this ball game is tied at 5-5.
And now it's up to Eddie Matthews.
Grimm takes his time. He's in a tough spot. Here is the 2-2 pitch. A swing and a drive back in the right field. Going back towards that wall. It may be. It is a home run for Eddie Matthews.
The series seesawed to the seventh game, and all the chips were down. With only 2 days' rest and the winner of two big victories, Lou Burdett took the mound in place of flu-stricken Warren Spahn. And again, Burdett was nothing less than brilliant. The Braves forged ahead.
Larson's ready. He fires, and they swing a line drive to right field. Base hit. Here comes a Milwaukee Braves falling. The ball is down deep in the corner. Logan is being waved around third base. He's pounding for the plate. Here comes the relay. He is safe. Eddie Matthews. Went over the first baseman's head, driving in 2 runs. And Milwaukee has a 2-0 lead, and Casey Stengel's walking out to the mound.
And then, Blainer, came that nerve-wracking ninth inning. The Braves led 5-0, but the ever-dangerous Yankees staged a big threat.
Bases are loaded. Bill Scarron, the batter, 5-0. The Braves lead. There's a swing and a foul back. 1 strike. Scarron, who just returned to the lineup today, came on as a pinch hitter in the fifth inning, and he's remained in the ball game at first base. He's 0-2. The outfielder on to the left. McDougal is on at third. Coleman is on at second. Tommy Byrne, the base runner at first. Hank Aaron is pulled around in left center field. A breeze is blowing across from left to right. Burdett's pitch swung on. Line grip by Matthews. It's set from third, and the World Series is over, and the Milwaukee Braves are the new world champions of baseball.
And that was it. Baseball had a new world's champion, and Bedlam broke loose in Milwaukee. There was dancing in the streets, and our town had the world's happiest hangover. The Milwaukee Braves, champions of the world.
World champions, and like Alexander of old, the Braves had no more worlds to conquer. But in the great game of baseball, each pennant chase is a brand new race. And your Milwaukee Braves return to the wars in 58, determined to make it 2 in a row.
And once again, right up in the front ranks, was a young southpaw by the name of Warren Spahn. Corner all the cliches you can think of. Meal ticket, bellwether, stopper, you name it, and Spahny is the answer. Take the early part of the season, for example, when Warren got the green light against his longtime nemesis, those transported Dodgers.
Count is even now on the rookie outfielder, Chuck Esigian. Ball 2 and strike 2. One out here in the last half of the ninth inning. Runners on first and third. A swing and a ground ball to the third baseman. Here's the peg to second base out. Over to first base. Double play, and Warren Spahn's got his shutout. A double play in the last half of the ninth inning. And Warren Spahn just registered his 42nd shutout in a brilliant Major League career.
Another repeat in the 58 pattern. The Braves' penchant for powdering the ball to kingdom come. Few thrills can match the excitement of a clutch hit. And the Braves provided many a thrill on many an occasion. Do you recall this one when Del Crandall climbed off the bench in a 3-3 battle with the Red Legs?
It's been an uphill battle for the Braves. They reached it now as they've tied the Red Legs. A swing, a line drive down the left field line back towards the wall. It is a home run over the left field fence.
Or here's that man again, Joe Adcock, coming up as a pinch hitter.
Tying run at first base. Here comes the next pitch to Joe. A swing and a drive back in the left center field. Going back towards the wall. Back. Home run for Joe Adcock, and the ball game is over.
And when the big guns weren't bombarding, one of the lesser lights often came through to keep the pot a boiling. Remember a young fellow named Hannah Brink? This one happened in St. Louis. Small wonder they called him Hairbreadth Harry.
Come on, Harry, straighten it out. Ball 1 and strike 1. Boy, he hit that ball. Up on top of the double deck and right about 15 feet foul. Braves now have 2 runs on 7 hits. The Cardinals only 2 runs and 3 hits. Score is tied at 2-2. Ball one, strike one count on Hannebrink. Pitch to Harry. A swing and a high drive back in the right center field. Right back towards the wall. Home run for Harry Hannebrink.
And so it went throughout the 58 season. A continuing series of injuries failed to halt the Braves' pennant express. Bob Buell and Joey Jay were derailed, but young Carl Willie came up from Wichita to put the Braves back on the track. And of course, there was always Sponny, who on September 13th racked up his 20th win for the ninth time in his career, a feat never before accomplished by a southpaw in the entire history of our national pastime.
Then on September 21st, another memorable day for the Milwaukee Braves and their rabid rooters. Were you listening when it happened?
Ed Bailey, the last chance now for the Redlegs. Deep in the batter's box. Here's the 2-2 pitch. There's a swing and a drive in the right center field. Bruton going over, so's Henry Aaron. Billy is calling. The ball game is over. The Braves win the National League pennant. They're gathered around Don McMahon on the mound now as he retired the side in order in the last half of the ninth inning on a fly ball to Billy Bruton in right center field. Here in the last half of the ninth, three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on base, and our Milwaukee Braves again are champions in the National League. As they leave the playing area, they're getting a wonderful ovation from the Cincinnati fans who probably are yelling, "Go take those Yankees now."
Yes, the Braves made it two in a row as Spahn notched his 21st win despite heading for an early shower. And now, once again, the cry was heard, "Bring on the Yankees."
Milwaukee County Stadium was the scene of the series opener, and what a ding-dong battle it was. Remember that eighth-inning rally that put us back in the game?
Runner on first, none out. 2-1 pitch. A swing and a drive back in the right field. Going back is Hank Fowler towards the wall. He leaps. This one is out there for extra bases. Eddie Matthews on in second base, on his way to third. Aaron goes into second base. The throw gets away from the shortstop, Kubek, but it's picked up by Curry.
Wes Covington then came through with a sacrifice fly to tie the game, and we headed for overtime. Then, in the 10th inning,
Dern tugs at the cap, now digs in against the pitching rubber. There's a look back toward the runner at second, Joe Adcock, the stretch and the pause. A 1-1 pitch. Swung on. There's a line drive going to right center field. It's in there for a base hit. Adcock comes in to score, and there's the ball game. Listen to this crowd.
The second game was a cakewalk for Lou Burdett, who aided his own cause with a long home run as the Braves football their way to a 13-5 margin. The scene then shifted to the house that Ruth built, and the Yanks bounced back to take the third game. In the fourth, manager Fred Haney led with his ace, and Warren Spahn was again the master of old, pitching a tremendous three-hitter to win 2-0. But the Braves got quite a scare in the fourth inning. Surely you remember that spine-tingling moment.
Ball two and a strike one count. First baseman Bill Scourin due to hit next. Here's a swing and a drive deep left center field. That ball's going a long, long way. It is off the wall. Here is Aaron chasing it down. His man around second base on his way to third. The peg into the infield. He goes in standing with a tremendous triple.
Mantle held third as the second out was made. Then,
here is the windup. 2-2 pitch. A swing and a line drive. It is knocked down by Shady. Over to first. He is on a great play. Sainz, he knocks the ball down. It fell to his feet. He picked it up. Edcock was coming over to cover first base. He went back into that bag, jabbed at the bag, made a scoop up of a low throw as Barrow went diving head first in the first base. On a great play to retire the side.
Yes, the old redhead, one of baseball's all-time greats, and the man who helped make the Braves. The rest of that 1958 series, well, the news was sad. And there's no point in dwelling on the Yankee sweep of the final three games. Time now to look ahead to 1959.
And Blainer, like the preceding years, this one had a full share of pages for the memory book. That night of May 26th, for example, when you fans of the stadium were treated to the greatest pitching performance in all of baseball's long history. Harvey Haddix was on the mound for the Pirates as inning after inning after inning went by, with nary a Brave reaching base by any means or manner. Meantime, Lou Burdett was matching horse collars with Harvey the Kitten, and the game was a scoreless tie through 11 electrifying innings. And in the 12th,
Haddix into the motion, 2-2 pitch, a swing of ground ball to the third baseman's left. He stabs it. Here's a throw to first base. He is out, and that retires the side. And Harvey Haddix now has 12 perfect innings of brilliance.
Simply magnificent pitching performance, another standing ovation.
The tension mounted as Burdett blanked the Bucks in their half of the 13th. And then...
nobody on base, nobody out. Haddix delivers. A swing of ground ball to the third baseman. He's in fast. Big hop. The throw to first base. A low throw. There's the first base runner.
With first base open, Aaron was purposely passed, and the stage was set for Jolton Joe.
Ball one and no strikes to count on, Joe Adcock. The winning run on second base in the last half of the 13th inning. Into the stretch. Here is the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball. Driven deep into right center field. Going back towards the wall. Back, back. And it's a home run for Joe Adcock, and the ball game is over.
And Earl, that thrilling windup had us all up in the air.
That's right, Blaine. The situation didn't get straightened out until the next morning, when it was decided that Adcock's home run was really a double, and that the Braves won by a score of 1-0.
Well, in view of the immortal pitching performance by Harvey Haddix, the Braves were happy to settle for any kind of a win. The 59 season settled down to a three-way battle among the San Francisco Giants, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Milwaukee Braves. The battles with the transplanted East Coast teams were always hard fought. And this June game with the Dodgers was a typical Donnybrook.
Wise on third, Matthews on second, Aaron on first. Andy Papko in the batter's box, batting at 209. Andy has 9 hits and 43 at-bats. One double and 2 runs batted in. He swings at the ground ball, a base hit down the left field line. This is for extra bases. One run is scoring. 2 runs are scoring, and Papko's going into second base. Here comes Aaron trying to score. He scores!
Braves management, always on the lookout to improve the club and please the fans, constantly maneuvered to bring in new players. You'll probably recall that 1959 saw Bobby Avila, Lee May, Ray Boone, and Country Slaughter appear as new faces at the stadium. Bobby Avila made a great debut, hitting a ninth-inning homer to whip the Red Legs and end a 7-game losing streak. But Bobby's biggest blow came later.
Come on, Bobby. Drive down that right field line could win the ball game as it's wide open. Simoli's way over towards right center. Now Simoli's moving over to his left a couple of steps. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Low, a ball. 1-2. Ball one and strike two on Avila. Ball one, strike two. Rolio's pitch to Bobby, a swing and a drive back on the left field, going back towards that wall. Now the left fielder, back. Home run! A grand slam home run for Bobby Avila! Hooray!
A tremendously important blast because, as things turned out, every game was a must game. Every win, a needed win. The season's end found the Braves and Dodgers deadlocked for first place. Here at home, the Braves dropped the first game of the pennant playoff 3-2. And then came drama and disaster at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. The Braves put on a stirring rally in the late innings, and the score was knotted at 5-5 in the 12th inning. Bob Rush was on the hill.
Rush out in front, ball one, strike two. Dodger runners on first and second, but the Dodger runner of importance, of course, is the guy on second base, Gil Hodges. He represents the winning run of the ball game. 5-5 tie in the last half of the 12th inning. Into the stretch, Bob Rush. The 1-2 pitch. A swing and a chopper out behind second base. And it is picked up by Mantilla. Throw to first. And it gets away. Here's the winning run scoring. The Dodgers win the pennant on a swinger.
And so the Braves' bid for their third pennant in 4 years went by the boards by a whisker. But hope springs eternal in the hearts of baseball fans, and a new season was coming up.
And with a new leader at the helm, Blainer, astute Charlie Dressen became manager, and a fired-up team was thick in the pennant chase just about all season long. 1960 was the year when everything went perfect for the Pirates, but you Braves fans had some mighty exciting times. Remember August 18th, the day Lou Burdett joined the Hall of Fame?
A strike to count on Bobby Gene Smith. Two outs. Burdett has retired 26 consecutive batters. In the center of attraction right now. Holding a great spotlight out there on the mound.
Strike two count. Two outs on Bobby Jean Smith. Ninth inning, Braves lead 1-0. Burdette has his sign. Here's the windup. And here's the 0-2 pitch. There's a swing and a high fly ball to right. Come on, Henry. He's got his no-hitter. A perfect no-hitter. There's the catch and the ball game is over. Lou Burdette has just pitched a perfect no-hit, no-run ball game to beat the Philadelphia Phillies 1-0. Nice going, Lou.
Talk about embarrassing moments. Lou's masterpiece was not a perfect no-hitter because one Philly runner did reach first. Chalk up an error for the Earl.
So who feels a thousand, Earl? The excitement of Burdette's no-hitter had hardly died down when just a month later, Warren Spahn took the mound in quest of his 20th win. Again, it was the Phillies. And talk about lightning striking twice.
Warren Spahn starts the motion. Here's the pitch. There's a swing and a miss. He struck him out. 15 strikeouts for Warren Spahn. 15 strikeouts tonight. Two outs and nobody on base. We go down to the last man now, Bobby Malkmus. Malkmus is grounded to short, popped to short, and he's fly to center field. Tremendous strikeout total tonight for Spahny. But that's not the big story right now. Ninth inning, two outs, nobody on base. Malkmus 0 for 3, standing outside the batter's box. The outfield is playing him around to the left. So is the infield. Second baseman Chuck Cottier on the edge of the outfield grass, lined up with right center field. The veteran southpaw, Spahn, into the motion. Here is the pitch to Bobby Malkmus. A swing and a drive. Hits off the glove. Logan in fast. Up of the ball. Throws the first. He is out. What a great play by Joe Adcock. And Warren Spahn has a no-hitter. Warren Spahn has a no-hitter. What a great play by Logan and John and Joe Adcock.
16 years is a long time to wait for anything. But Spahny finally got his no-hitter. Was anyone ever more deserving of such an honor? The big win marked Warren's 12th season of 20 or more wins. Another chapter for the record books.
And so our march of memorable moments moves into 1961. As we record these highlights for posterity, the season is still young. Many things are yet to happen. Baseball takes many twists and turns, but it never erases what's in the records. And the early 61 season produced two fantastic and fabulous highlights.
Remember the bitter cold night of April 28th? Perfect for polar bears, but hardly fit for the precious arm of a veteran southpaw. Spahny's turn again, and his opponents are the hard-slugging, power-packed Giants. Were you there? Were you listening?
Batter is a pinch batter. Mateo Alou. Mateo Alou, brother of Felipe Alou, the Giants' right fielder. Mateo's been up three times. He has two hits. He's batting at 667. And here is the first pitch. He bunts one, a drag bunt down the first base side. Spahn overthrows. He's out, and a great play. Warren Spahn and Joe Adcock, and it's two away in the ninth inning.
After that backhanded flip to Nip Alou, Spahn had one big out to get. Then,
this is Amal Fitano batting for Sam Jones. And he's out in front of Warren Spahn. Ball two, no strikes. Spahny starts his motion. 2-0 pitch, a swing and a hard-hit ball to Roy McMillan. He bobbles the ball, comes up, throws the first base, and he is out!
And Warren Spahn has pitched another no-hitter! Warren Spahn has just pitched his second no-hitter in his second consecutive year. And he's being mobbed out here behind the mound. Roy McMillan took that hard shot. It bounced off his chest. He picked it up and threw the guy out at first base. And Warren Spahn has done it again.
As Mel Allen would say, how about that? After years of waiting, Wiley Warren turns the trick two seasons in a row. What more can be said about this man among men?
You know, Blaine, it doesn't always happen that good pitching is combined with stout hitting. And when the two fail to click together, not even writing new records can win the game. Consider that Pier 6 brawl against the Redlegs down Cincinnati way.
How well I remember, Earl. Spahny was off the mark that day, and when the Braves came to bat on the seventh, they trailed 10-2. Frank Bowling continued his hot hitting with a line single to left, and the hitter was Eddie Matthews.
2-2 pitch. There's a swing, a long drive way back in the right field. There she goes. Home run for Eddie Matthews.
Now it's Aaron at bat, and on the second pitch,
there's a swing and a drive on the left field line back towards the screen, and this one is a home run for Henry Aaron. line drive up into the screen. And Aaron just picked up his 10th home run of the season.
Strategy called for a pitching change, and in came Marshall Bridges to replace the shell-shocked Jim Maloney. Adcock at bat.
There's a swing and a drive back into center field, going back towards the wall. It may be. It is a home run for Joe Adcock. Three home runs in a row tie a major league record.
Wow, three in a row and more fireworks to come. Popular newcomer Frank Thomas strides to the plate.
2-1 pitch, a swing and a drive back into center field. That might be it. It's back towards the wall, back. Home run, and the Braves have just set a new major league record.
Never before in the annals of Major League Baseball had any team cracked four consecutive homers. And it was our battling Braves who did it. Sure, we lost the game, but the four back-to-back blasts typify the thrills and excitement of Braves baseball.
Well, as the saying goes, Blainer, you win a few, lose a few, and a few are rained out. But ever since hitting town in 53, the Braves have furnished the fans with untold thrills and have consistently been in contention. The passing parade sees stars come and go, but new faces keep the picture bright and exciting. A popular Andy Pathko reaches the end of the line, but along comes a young Joe Torre to replace him. Trades may see us say farewell to a Billy Bruton, or Joey Jay, or Johnny Logan, but in their places are stars like Frank Bowling and Roy McMillan. The turnover is terrific, but the fun and excitement go on, and it's always great to be at County Stadium to see what will happen next.
Right you are, Earl, and in days and seasons to come, we'll experience new thrills, see new stars, and bask in the glory of more pennants and world championships. Earl and I will be seeing you and the Milwaukee Braves at beautiful Milwaukee County Stadium. ¶¶